This is You've Been Challenged. I'm Craig Collins, and that theme song is for Bob's Burgers. I'm super excited to talk about the show this week. And my guest, you are a friend of Amy Guth's, Anna, and I'd like you to introduce yourself and tell us what you do. You have a podcast as well.
Yes, I'm Anna Furnett. My podcast is Champagne and Snark.
Ooh, fancy.
Yes, where I drink champagne with interesting people and then talk to them about topics that no one else will.
And you've had a couple people that our audience may know. You've had Amy on the show, and then you've actually had Michael Heidemann.
Yes. I've had a lot of people your audience might know, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've had Brian Babylon from Anna Hovett, who was the Reader's Choice for Top Chicago Designer.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, you've had, I didn't mean, you've had fancy people on, Anna. That's not what I meant. What I meant was you've had people that are actually working in this building.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
No, but we probably are very familiar with a lot of the people that you've talked to. Yeah.
I think so.
Very, very cool. We have no booze. I feel bad about that already.
I almost brought some in, but you have to work later.
And I am currently at my place of work. I do record this here. So that might have been like, right, what's Craig doing in Studio A? I'm just getting drunk, guys. It's cool. No big deal. But I love the show that you challenged me to, Bob's Burgers. And usually the way that I kick the conversation off is just to ask you, when you decided to challenge me to something, why was this the show you picked?
You know, I was gonna challenge you to Archer,
Which I've seen every episode of, by the way.
Which is fantastic. Yeah. But I had just recently binge watched Bob's Burgers.
Got it.
And it was on top of mind. But I think, like, in addition to that, there's just like it's the sort of show that I think the reason I binge watched it recently is because it's this sort of show where it's like this dysfunctional family that really loves each other.
Yeah, they do.
There's something about that that's wonderful. It's like you can be insane and crazy, but if you find your group of insane and crazy, you can still be individual.
I love that you bring that up first, because there actually was an episode that really, it was very interesting to me that I saw. I don't know if you remember this one, but the dad character, John Benjamin's character, which is Bob. Who's Bob Belcher, he remembers his childhood because some people send him toys that he had when he was growing up. They find them in the wall, the people that bought his father's. And you don't even see any of this, but he opens the box, and they're really sad toys. He's got like a soap bar that is a dog because it's sort of shaped like a dog. And his kids immediately go, "What is this feeling we're having for you? I think it's pity." Which is very funny. But so the character's response, Bob's response, is to fire his kids because he doesn't want to be like his dad and make his kids work all the time. And so they find another family to work for because these children can't go out and have fun. They have to find another job to have. And it's a really interesting episode that speaks a lot about the resolution to the whole episode is that Bob's kids are actually lucky to be at work with their family because of how much they love each other, how great a time they can have, even helping out around this restaurant, which is what the main character does. He's a burger chef at a restaurant that he owns. Yeah. So it was a really interesting episode to me that, while it was very funny, there was a very kind of poignant message in the end that it doesn't matter what you do with your time. If you're this close to your family members, it's going to be worth it, and you're not going to be kind of that same person that he was afraid he was turning his kids into, which is just a person that works all the time and doesn't enjoy life.
Right.
So that was a big message to get from a Bob's Burgers episode, Anna. So thank you.
You're welcome. I've changed your life.
You really did. It was seminal. I was watching and I was playing with my soap dog that I had growing up, and I was like, wow.
Like, we're the same.
Right, life has changed. But it is really the crux of the whole show is the relationship of these five characters, the husband and wife and their three kids. And there's something really incredible about how well that's done in this show, like a Simpsons or some other shows. But really, every episode, the one thing you don't question is how much they all care about each other.
And one thing that's different between, I mean, there's a similarity between Simpsons and Bob's Burgers in that there's like a slightly dysfunctional family. They all have very specific characteristics. But something that's very different in Bob's Burgers is that the father character is actually is the glue that keeps them all together.
Yeah.
Whereas with something like Simpsons, the father character is the fall guy.
Oh yeah, he's the idiot. I mean, Bob is definitely the Lisa. Bob is definitely the wisest one of the bunch, it seems like at times, which is interesting.
Yeah. Did you feel that you were similar to any of the characters?
Well, I just told you about my little dog that I had. At times I think that I can relate to all of them, actually. There's something about, I mean, the kids are insane. The three children characters are all sort of nuts. There's not really a redeeming quality, although the voices, Louise is played by Kristen Schaal, who's amazing.
She's amazing.
But, and really, she actually is almost a Lisa character too, because she's wise beyond her years, but in the worst way possible. Where Lisa uses her intelligence to always be the best person in the room, this little kid always uses hers to be the worst human around.
Right.
Which is pretty interesting to me. But then the other two characters are played by amazing comedians as well. Gene is played by Eugene Merman, which is really cool. He's the oldest brother character. And it's interesting to see the way that these three kids are always very far. Is there anyone that you relate to?
I think I think the one that I relate the most to is Tina.
Tina, okay,
who's
cool.
Like, you know, she's overly into boys.
Yes.
And but also in a way that scares them. And also is just like really awkward in her own body and mm-hmm. like, and I think, you know, that's as something we all go through in this like puberty age, and it's, I really remember how horrible that was, and
right.
I just feel for her so bad. And I think, I mean, it took me longer than necessary to grow out of that awkwardness.
To grow out of the awkward yeah. phase.
Why my blog was called Accidentally Sexy, because because it's like I started that blog when I was like 25, and I still was feeling in this place where
oh, wow.
I knew I was attracting a lot of people,
uh-huh.
but I felt very weird about it, you know, and not in control of my own instrument.
Got it.
And so I really like, I get her in that way. And I just love, and I also like, you know, when I was boy crazy, I was boy crazy. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and,
that is yeah. funny. She is, and actually she's played by a guy.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, yeah. The actor is Dan Mintz. And actually the very first episode, apparently it was an older brother is what they
okay.
were going to do. So the voice was of an older boy. And then at some point they're like, you know, this doesn't work as well as if we make you a girl.
Yeah.
So they kept the actor and they just made him do his best girl voice.
Oh my gosh.
And that's
I
what
love
came
her.
Out.
I yeah. love her so much.
You're right. And it is funny because one thing that you say that is sort of different between you and her is she's not grown into herself mm-hmm. yet. She's still, you know, a teen or preteen or whatever. So she's not attracting any of the boys that she likes. It's mm-hmm. it's very one-sided, these relationships that she pictures
but
herself in.
This is where her and I differ, because she has this big crush on Jimmy Jr., who is the the son of the competing restaurant
yep.
guy,
mm-hmm.
and who also, I think he's gay.
Yeah, I think that character is. I think he's gay. Yeah.
Anyway, I've been wondering about that.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
But anyway, she eventually gets his attention, mm-hmm. which I never did when I was in pre-teenage. Like there was no interest in Anna Frenette at 12 years old, and so
there was no interest in Craig Collins either. It was okay.
Yeah.
We're in a very like-minded group right now.
I blossomed eventually,
right.
But yeah, that part I watched and I was like, that's not true to life.
We're never supposed to get these people.
Yeah.
What season does that happen in? I don't know if I saw that episode.
It happens off and on through a couple. I think probably.
And is the character that she likes the one that has like the speech impediment and stuff? Is that
yes.
the guy with? Okay.
And
so,
he dances.
Yeah.
He's a very avid dancer.
There's an episode where Tina gets addicted to espresso,
yes.
Which then turns into like coffee and just anything with caffeine in it. And he comes by at the beginning of that episode. And since I jumped throughout the series, I didn't really get a good idea of the continuity mm-hmm. of the show. At that point, he was already interested in her, and
yeah.
she like throws him out for coffee.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's always marginally interested in her. I think he likes the attention.
Got it.
You know, and actually coffee that I forgot about that episode.
Oh my God, so great.
My rebellion as a kid, because I was such a good kid, mm-hmm. was to drink coffee. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, my parents didn't have coffee in the house, and I was like, oh, well, when I'm at a sleepover,
right.
guys,
I'm going to do
guess
this.
Guess what?
It's hilarious. The Tina character, she sips because Bob buys an espresso mm-hmm. machine, because that's what a burger place needs, is a really
right.
fancy espresso maker.
Gotta upgrade.
And she sips the little coffee, and her eyes glaze over, and then you see her doing this like drug kind of induced scene in her brain, and then she immediately snaps back, and the things she says when she's drinking coffee are hilarious. She's
yeah.
like, I can tell I'm a more interesting person now.
Yeah.
And just even the way that she speaks is so much more rapid, and just everything yeah. about her was really funny for that
yeah.
whole episode.
It was very Jesse Spano, I'm so excited.
Yep, it was very, very Saved by the Bell. And that is actually the third time that specific episode of Saved by the Bell has been mentioned in this podcast,
it's
and I've only
one.
Done 14. So we're really like 25% of episodes.
Yeah.
Jesse Spano loves speed. It is the best.
It
actually,
is the best.
That episode of that show, a lot of shows were doing that at that time, though, right? Like a lot of those teen shows were doing the message episode or the like PSAs
well,
episode.
Is that the time of the war on drugs?
I think so. I think where everyone was doing at the end, I love the end of that Saved by the Bell, if we can talk about it for just a second.
I don't remember.
All the characters come back on screen after the credits and they go, just so you know, like these are bad things to take. And I love those moments when the characters break who they are
uh-huh.
to tell us the message that we might not have understood if maybe we're an idiot. Maybe we didn't get the point.
Yeah.
So they just reinforce it at the end with, this is what we were saying to you. Don't
right.
do speed. Yeah. Thank
and
you, Jesse.
Fast forward to Dustin Diamond's current life.
Oh, my God. Did you watch the Saved by the Bell, the Lifetime movie? Did you see
no,
that? I didn't see
I
it
I didn't
either.
Even know there was a
There's a Lifetime movie.
Is it? So it's a dramatized?
Yeah. I think it's based on his book that said, like,
okay.
the behind the scenes, because
okay.
it was crazy, apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's a movie and all that. It's actually my favorite part of the fact that a Lifetime movie exists about the show is when you see the recasting of all the characters, because there is like a little Mark Paul Gosselaar-esque boy.
Oh, Mark Paul Gosselaar. Yeah. I loved him.
Did you?
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah, there's this one episode. I know this isn't my show. But
no, it's okay. Go ahead.
There's this one episode. There's two episodes that I will always think of. One of them was they go to a murder mystery weekend. And it's like, Lisa Turtle, she first of all, she's in high school, but she orders this cocktail to match her dress. And it says something strawberry with a kiwi twist. I was like, that is amazing. What a grown up. And then she gets stolen for a while and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is I think they were trying to get concert tickets and they ended up getting locked in the mall. And they all stayed together in this camping setup in one of the stores, and I was so like, this is what high school's be like for me. And it's like, fast forward to Anna in high school, where she had no friends and she chopped all her hair off and looked disgusting.
No, the things that they do in that show, they go on like an extended spring break where they're all the lifeguards
that's right,
that's so insane. Their life was so different than our lives. They were a band, weren't they? The Saved by the Bell characters also created,
probably.
Yeah, no, there's a band episode where we go behind the scenes of the Zach Morris experience or whatever it is. He eventually walks out of the band because but again, this is not the show we're supposed to talk about.
Yes,
I guess.
Bob's Burgers
is so great.
Yeah, his wife Linda is fantastic. What I really like about her, and I think this is where I relate to her, is that she always breaks out into her own little songs. And she's just like, there's this song about Valentine's Day, and if you can, like, maybe you'll even like look this up in post or something, but basically she's like, she sings something about like, but I'm not alone, and if I was, I'd kill myself or something like that. And it's just like the most perfect, that and the Thanksgiving song, it's just so perfect. And I think what I like about her and Bob's relationship is that she is allowed to be this really kooky person, and she's so over the top in love with her family, in a way that's like both a turnoff and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. I like that in her, because it reminds me of who I am and as a person. I'm so quirky, and that's like who I project myself as being someday.
Is this song by any chance called Such a Lonely Existence?
Yes.
I think that I might have found the song then, which really excites
me. People together forever, security in life, and someone to love you instead of being all alone. Such a lonely existence.
I think they edited it.
Oh, that's it?
Two people together forever, security in life, and someone to love you instead of being all alone. Such a lonely existence, I kill myself.
Wow, that's
such
really just thrown in there.
Existence, I kill myself.
That really is a good song, though. Like, really.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, my God. Thank you for that, too, now. That is now a part of my life. I'm going to make that my ringtone.
Oh, it's so good. Right? Such a lonely existence.
I kill myself. How do they transition from that in the episode to like immediately just... That's the thing about the mom, though, like you said, is she'll say these crazy outlandish things and then everyone just sort of ignores it. They just sort of move on.
It's so good. But so in that episode, So she sees that there are a couple of her customers that don't have anything to do on Valentine's Day. Uh-huh. And so she's like, and then she sings them that song, and then she does like a speed dating thing.
Oh, good.
And
that always makes people feel better.
Oh, my gosh. And it's like the worst speed dating. It's like this guy comes in late and he's like, let's do real stuff. And instead of answering these questions about what your favorite restaurant is or whatever, he's like, let's say the worst thing we've ever done. And if you like each other still, then you should date. And they're saying things like one of them was like, I murdered somebody and I like threw him in a thing, but I don't know. And then it's just one of them was, I've had a yeast infection for 10 years.
I'm good.
Like, oh, it's so good.
The cringeworthy moments in the show, too, are actually pretty great. There's an episode where the mechanic friend hosts a Halloween party, the guy who's kind of around all the time, and they go over and then someone kills his pet rat.
It's a guinea pig.
Like that. And Bob actually finds out later that he's the one that did it. But that whole episode is so funny. And even the way that he's trying to play like party games with people, it's very similar to what you're experiencing. Like these ridiculous games that other humans probably would never want to play.
And actually, like, I mean, I've gone back and watched this various episodes more than once, mm-hmm. and I go back still and I find new things, because the wordplay is so clever. It's like intelligently written.
Yeah.
That there's always layers I read.
I don't know if that's just an H. John Benjamin thing, because Archer, what you said, is actually another show where that very much comes into play. Even just the phrasing joke that they make all the time.
Yeah.
It's really clever how often they throw that in there. And that's now a part of my life. I now yell phrasing at people. Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's like the updated "That's What She Said."
It is. It is almost exactly. Yeah.
It sounds a little smarter.
Do they do Bob's Burgers live like Archer? Do you know that Archer they actually do? Yeah.
I don't know.
Because this would be
this
would be another show that I think would be a lot of fun to go see live for Archer. For those who are familiar with the show, it's another cartoon show that's very, very funny, and they'll actually do live tapings of some of their episodes, so you can attend them doing voiceover, which is really cool.
I think, honestly, that would be really hard for me to see Archer live because, like, Aisha Tyler looks like her character, right?
Yeah.
Archer does not look like Archer.
No.
And it would bother me. Like, it would really hurt my brain, and it would just be really weird. He looks more like Bob.
He looks a lot more like Bob's Burgers. Yeah. No, that is great. Is there something that you feel like, other than maybe, I think the side characters, the other ones, Teddy is one that I just mentioned there's a few other ones that really do.
What about the counselor?
The counselor.
He's so great. In one of the first episodes, I think it might even be the first episode, he is like, he just really wants to counsel the children.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, he just loves it when he finds out there might be some dysfunction.
Right.
And so the three, each Belcher child, like, gets in trouble at school for something. Like, Gene gets in trouble because his grandparents are staying over, and the grandparents end up having sex in the room next to him, and he samples it on his like his little thing, and he's supposed to be doing this history report, and he's like, and he clearly hasn't done it, and he's like, my grandparents were alive during the Prohibition, and this is a song about them having sex, and he like uses the samples that
on his little keyboard,
and he like gets
so
sent to the
funny.
Principal office, and then I don't remember what Tina gets sent to. I think it's something.
Well, Tina
about
was
boys.
Having Tina was having dreams in that episode about zombies having sex.
Right.
And then her grandparents become the zombies, and then it gets really disturbing.
Yeah. She at first is, like, really into it, and then she's like, please stop. And it's like, wait. So,
so she can't sleep or something.
Yeah,
Bob is hiding in a wall to stay away from the family. It's a very funny episode.
Oh, it's so good.
My favorite part about that guy, though, that character, is how bad he wants to counsel the youngest child, Louise.
Yeah.
He's so... That there's even episodes where she'll just walk up to him and be like, I really want to talk about my feelings. And he'll be like, yes, yay!
Yeah.
And that's just her messing with him more.
Yes.
Right.
She's, I mean, like, they're each such genius characters. When I see something like that, I just kind of wonder, like, the brilliance of the minds behind that is just, like, so unfathomable where this even comes from. Because it's, like, it is such a high level of creativity.
Well, and I wonder how much comes from the actors themselves.
Right.
The League is a show that's on that's actually ending.
Love The League.
I love The League, too. It's ending, and they started to talk about how the writers really liked the fact that they picked these either professional comedians or these professional improvisers, because a lot of what the material that's written on the paper isn't actually what you see in the episode, because they add to it as they go. And this show, Bob's Burgers, just seems like the kind of thing where Eugene Merman is going to sit down and say a line like six different times or add something to it, and then that's going to be what the actual episode winds up being, like what his character does in that moment.
Well, I heard that the character of Louise was actually picked for the voice actor.
Oh, right?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it was like that was it was made for her.
Well, so she's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm sure she has quite a lot of
Well, so she, one of the first things I fell in love with Kristen Schaal in was Flight of the Conchords. I don't know if you've seen that show. Yeah, she's amazing as the number one fan in that show. But then she's also now on
Last Man Alive.
Yeah. And that, she does such a good job as just such a ridiculous kind of...
Good at having, it's the same with like the Tina character. I think actually all of the characters in Bob's Burger have that like underlying extremeness.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it's like this, it's like they're always ready. They're each pushing a different awkward button,
right?
You know? And I think Kristen Schaal is really, she, in all of her characters, has been very good at like just getting up to that level where you're starting to feel uncomfortable as a viewer.
Right.
And that's where the humor is.
And then she'll make fun of you even more for
her
character for being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Which is great. And the Tina character, actually, it's very interesting that you say, because she seems like the most low key of the people, but there's so many eccentric kind of things to how she just lives her life. I guess it is all kind of around boys.
Right.
That everyone is so funny that Bob almost plays the role of the straight man more often than not. Mm-hmm. And he is such a great character on Archer that you wouldn't exactly expect that of him.
But even he is like, has eccentricities. He's just the most level balanced out of all of them.
Right.
And also like Simpsons, they have a lot of those great inside jokes.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, like in the opening credits of The Simpsons, it's always different.
Oh yeah.
Within Bob's Burgers, they always write a different burger on the board that has nothing to do with the plot line.
Right.
Sometimes it has a mention, but it's not.
No, and sometimes it's inappropriate because Louise has actually written up something way worse.
And they're all great puns.
Yep, they're usually dad puns.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they're very much not.
Perfect, yeah.
You've also noticed in the opening credits that the one store name always changes, and then the car...
No, I haven't noticed that.
It's actually really interesting. It's always a joke. The store, because Bob's Burgers is located next to a funeral home, crematorium, and then a random business that every episode from the first episode in changes.
I've never paid attention.
It's because I watched a whole bunch of them in a row. But it's something that you wouldn't notice, I think, if you took a week at a time.
Were there any good ones?
Yeah, there's a lot of really funny. I didn't write them. I should have written these down. But then also the car, the truck that drives in front that is a exterminator for the first season. Second season on, it changes every single time. They continue to make jokes. Yeah, it's so quick.
Yeah.
But it's those kind of little things that add to a show like this that make it. It's like when they scan Maggie and then there's supposed to be some sort of joke that if you freeze frame, you can see. Yeah. It's just, that's for the nerds, Anna.
I love
that's
Well, speaking of Archer and inside jokes, so this I've heard about, and I'm going to mess up all the details, but whatever. Google it later.
Let's do this.
Okay, so they do a lot of like inside jokes, but they did this really intricate Easter egg where it was something about the professor. And the professor...
Oh, I think you're going to talk about the video game Easter egg.
Yes, I think so. So he says something about, like, I've started this website. He gives a website. You go to the website, and then you have to, like, figure out all these codes within the site.
Yeah.
And then at the end, there's some sort of payoff.
Right. So he does the Konami code, I think is what it's called,
maybe.
Which is a type of... It's a brand, company that used to make video games for Sega and a few other things. And it's a right-left kind of button push thing that gets you a special screen in a few of the video games they made. They make a joke in Archer where it's really, really developed. Like, the code that he uses is in binary something that eventually is the Konami code. And then, like you said, you go to some website. This is a nerd thing. I don't know if they just know that the guys like myself who are, you know, late 20s, early 30s and love... cartoon shows will be this level of nerd. Like, if you put something like this in our in the episode of the show, we'll figure it out. We're gonna do all that stuff. The Simpsons does it too, and even Family Guy, which is a show that at times was funny and now is like disappointingly not as funny.
I think we're actually talking about two different Easter eggs.
Well, are we?
Yeah. So the it wasn't a video game. This one was it was something about like a research site.
So it's not the code is from video games, but you don't actually get a video game when you go to the website or something like that.
Well, maybe it is the same thing, but I like
There's so many.
But I do like the idea that they already understand their audience enough to go, someone's going to try this out.
Exactly.
So they don't just be like, they don't just put up a random one. They're like, okay,
Here
you go.
Exactly. That's exactly what I mean. I don't know if they know that we're that type of audience. People like myself who watch these shows, but Family Guy just will say a website in the middle of an episode, and then if you go to the internet, that is a real website.
And I love that. I love the fact that they know their audience and they make it real for you.
Right.
You know, like I like anything where the fictional can become factual.
No, it's and again, the one that you're specifically referencing from Archer is so developed that I'm really impressed that anyone figured it out in the first place.
It's like way down the rabbit hole.
Like again, it's one of those things where you have to freeze frame it and then write it all down and then figure it all out and then go to the website or whatever. It's incredible.
Yeah. It's just not at all how my brain works either. So I'm kind of like fascinated by anyone who is that way. It's just like it's like the entire Reddit in one person. That's who does it.
I wonder how many times someone has to watch an episode to get to that point where they actually notice something like that. Because I imagine there's no one out there in the world who can do this in a one-off. Like the first time you see the episode, figure out that, oh, that's a thing.
Or to like give a crap. You know? Like to really like recognize
it's
that.
A cartoon and it moves by really fast. And how did you even notice in the first place?
Yeah, like weren't you paying attention to what's happening in the story?
Right.
You know?
Right. But we love these nerds because they're the best guys
I
ever.
I love it. I enjoy it. Like I was saying, like I'm so fascinated by the brains behind who can create these characters. I'm also fascinated by the brains that think like in such a different way from my own. You know, and I consider myself to be a huge nerd. And so
me too.
That extra level, I just think that's like it's like a superpower.
Well, tell me, is there something that you feel like we're leaving out on the show, something that we really should get to? I know we talked about how the kids are so great and the mom really is
the mom's fantastic.
Hilarious. What I do find interesting about the show is there's not a terrible amount of continuity to it, which is great. You can jump in and jump out. There's no real kind of season arc of any kind, and I've loved that about South Park for a long time. And just recently they started having kind of continuity in their episodes, which has added kind of a new layer to me. I wonder if Bob's Burgers would ever do a season where things will actually continue to develop and they'd have like a kind of overarching story arc.
I wonder about that. I mean, there are certain storylines that continue, like for example there's the storyline about the health inspector that Linda used to be married to, and he keeps kind of coming in.
He was crying in a bathroom in an episode.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. And he keeps kind of coming in, and so that continues. But you're right. They don't really, like, they don't really develop as characters necessarily. They're not getting older.
Well, that was what was so exciting to me, actually, that you challenged me to this show. The first show I did for this podcast was with Tim Barnes, and it was Hey Arnold, which is another cartoon show that doesn't really have a terrible amount of continuity to it, so I could jump all over the place. Since that show, I didn't have another one where I felt really comfortable not watching a bunch of, like, the first season. And a lot of shows take more than a season to develop. If you watched a lot of the first season of Bob's Burgers, there is kind of a template with what they're doing now, but it is, like, to a lesser degree. I think that some of these shows know that you're going to be crazy and out there, mm-hmm. but it takes you a little time to get that zany in, like, episodes or seasons.
Well, yeah, like Archer, for example, it relies very heavily on the building of the storyline.
Yeah.
You can kind of jump in wherever you want, but right. if you want to really understand it, you have to be, like, invested in it.
And something that Archer did really interestingly, if we can talk about that show too, is their Vice season.
Yes.
They did a whole season, which was sort of like, we're going to deconstruct what we're doing, where we're spies and all this, and they blew all that up and then did a whole season where they're not.
I think they had to do that because that's when ISIS, the terrorist group, was starting to, for real.
Right.
So they had to change
right.
the name of the, they couldn't be ISIS the the spies anymore.
No, yeah, you're
so they had to change the to survive as a show.
Yeah, and then I think they were all in a room together, the writers and the actors. And again, this is where shows like Bob's Burgers probably really succeed, because it's the actors are more a team of the people creating the content. They all sat in a room together, like, what are we going to do? And someone thought of the idea, we'll just do a whole season completely out there and hope that we don't lose a bunch of audiences.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I think Bob's Burgers is so fascinating. And like I said, like, at the beginning, I think what really attracts me to it, it's obviously it's hilarious and I enjoy that, but on kind of a feel good level, it's that dysfunction and being accepted with it within your dysfunction.
Like, yeah.
There's never an opportunity. They're never trying to change Louise. They're never trying to change Jean. They're never trying to change Tina. And I think that in itself is, like, such a nice message.
Right. Oh, for sure. And even the episodes where, like you said, there's other kind of love interests that come into the picture and say, why would you pick? They say that to Bob's wife. Why would you pick Bob? There's all these reasons why I'm better.
Right.
And that's not what's important. What's important is that these people care about each other regardless of who they are or what they are.
Or even, like, you know, in their parenting style of the children, like, they when they get called into the counselor's office, they're, like, super proud of their kids still, you know. Or, like, when there's this one episode where Tina has two love interests. One of them is Jimmy Jr., who does not care about her, and the other is this cuter kid. And Bob says to Tina, he's like, of course you go for the one that cares about, like, it was good father advice,
right?
You know, and that, like, that as well is, like, he's not telling her to change herself. He's like, just go for the one that's nice to you. I think that's just, all of that is so comforting.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it adds to the show in a way that maybe you don't even notice episode to episode, but over kind of the whole arc of the show, it becomes very clear. Because I don't think that The Simpsons or even Archer really does that. I don't think there's that kind of human element that really draws you in outside of the comedy. The comedy is the big draw for all of these shows. But as you watch Bob's Burgers, there are a lot of moments that are just kind of there that just let you feel something other than laughter.
Right,
which is really incredible.
And I think, like, you have to think of what draws us to watch a movie, watch a TV show, listen to a podcast. And for me, it's the connection that I have. It either is, like, the connection that I have within myself because of, like, something I'm seeing, some sort of pattern I'm seeing or whatever. Or it's, like, just the connection that the characters have within each other, and that I find those things comforting. I think comfort is the right word for it. So even though there's laughter, or if it's a movie that's sad, or if there's something with even, like, terror in it, well, the reason I'm watching it is for a specific feeling and a specific action within myself. It's more than just the entertainment. And I think something like the reason you would want to binge watch a Bob's Burgers, the reason you would want to do that is because it's, like, it's just really nice.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. That aspect of the show is really nice. I don't think there's a lot of people that have that level of care. I think there are always flaws in the relationships we have in the real world. So there's probably not that kind of blind love that exists to that degree. And it is sort of beautiful and sort of, you envy the characters as you watch it a little bit, but in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's an amazing show. Bob's Burgers is a great show, and we just did a deep dive into some of the interesting things about Bob, other than the hilariousness of it. So I asked this already, but kind of, is there anything else that you feel like maybe we left out in talking about the show, or just something else that you really love, a character you really love, anything like that?
I mean, we never talked about Tina's obsession with horses, which I also think is really great. Like, it's an interesting take on, like, budding sexuality.
Yeah.
Because she's also very self-aware of it, which is awkward. It's right. Like, part of what makes it awkward and part of what makes it wonderful. Because you see all these depictions of girls going through puberty or children going through puberty. And it's either not touched upon, mm-hmm. or it's like, it's just like made into this really flowery, wonderful thing. And the reality is it's like a very weird time.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh,
it was beautiful.
Let's talk about Anna for a second.
Let's go ahead.
I wore almost exclusively Lion King sweatshirts.
Mm-hmm.
And sweatpants.
They were in though. They were in at the time. Yeah.
And did not wash my hair or wear a deodorant.
I hear that not washing your hair though, it adds like a personal grease that's very attractive, right?
That's why I did it, because I had read that Drew Barrymore doesn't wash her hair, and I was like, great. And
cool.
It was like,
I'm in.
When you're going through puberty,
right.
You have a higher oil secretion.
Yeah, and it's usually a mistake.
It was a mess. Like, I look back at that. I look back at my school photo from that time, and I'm just like, what was anybody thinking? Like, why was I allowed to like be this person? But it's, you know, it's like, I just think it's like, I think it's such a refreshing take on this part of our mm-hmm. lives where it's trying to be real and it's trying to be like accepting at the same time. And I think that has like, it has a deeper consequence.
Oh, there's something really great about it. Early on in this podcast, someone challenged me to Gossip Girl, which is a show that I enjoyed mm-hmm. watching, but all the characters, well, their flaws are interesting and, you know, it kind of humanizes them. They're all really fancy, rich, happy
right.
people who probably had really great lives compared
right.
to the rest of us. There's something about watching shows like The Inbetweeners, which Amy Guth challenged me to last week, or this, where everybody is more flawed than mm-hmm. the average person, that it's really endearing. It's a really great way to see, okay, this crazy made-up character is worse than me, so at least I'm not so bad.
Yeah.
My life wasn't so bad.
Right.
Yeah. No, and it's funny, too, that you mention that, because Matthew McConaughey doesn't use deodorant. I read that one time. He believes his man musk is attractive.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, there was a small amount of time.
Matthew McConaughey, by the way.
Really.
He's the worst.
I mean, honestly, there's a host here that worships Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, God.
But for the rest of us, he's kind of a tool.
He, like, ruins every movie.
And even car commercials.
Yeah.
He makes those
oh,
ridiculous.
My God. He ruins, like, photos that he's in on accident. Like, he's just
Matthew, get out of the photo.
He was on Sex in the City once, and he was like, so the story was Carrie was in LA because she was going to sell her story to a movie,
sure,
whatever, and he was like, I really want to produce it, and he has a meeting with her, and he's just like being hyper Matthew McConaughey to the point where I'm like, I don't know if they told him to like act Matthew McConaughey or if he just came in and he was like being Matthew McConaughey, because he was doing this thing where she's sitting in this chair.
That question you just asked, by the way, that really confused my brain.
I mean,
is he being Matthew McConaughey or is he being asked to be Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah. You know,
no,
because he was like, there's this point where she's sitting in this chair. He puts his one leg up like on this table next to her chair and just kind of like straddles his crotch in her face, and he's just being like really like,
yeah, Matthew,
you know,
McConaughey.
Hyper Adderall or something, and he's mm-hmm. like all sweaty and super tanned and like just ugh.
And just picture the fact that during that whole scene he has absolutely no deodorant on.
that is
all BO all over the place.
No, all man musk. Oh my
yeah.
gosh. That puts another thing on Magic. Also in Magic Mike, he just looks like that creepy, gross guy that like...
Yeah, okay, let's go ahead and talk about that. I'm
yeah.
a man, I'm a straight man, so I'm not terribly attracted to any of the people in
yeah.
Magic Mike. But if we're going to mention how they're all like really hot guys...
Yeah.
That's the first movie where I've seen a McConaughey and really thought to myself, he's on the downslope now.
What
this
is he,
not,
60? Like,
yeah. This is no longer
here.
Super hot McConaughey compared
no,
to the other guys.
This is McConaughey. This is like the guy that's drinking at your local bar
right.
that you went to, like the high school town sort of thing. And like, it is not an attractive man anymore.
Thank you. That Matthew McConaughey, if he was the one that existed in the real world, no one would really be into him
anymore.
He
looks like he smokes cigarettes a lot. And like drinks PBR,
right? And he's hanging on way too hard to
and, like,
to
he
his body.
Only hangs out at those like those sort of dive. Like I love a dive bar, but that's like the only place he is, and he's there every day. And he's probably playing on those like fruit machine things. Like
uh-huh.
that's
yeah.
He's like he is probably at Richard's right now, smoking.
Right. No, it's fine because I even saw interviews that they did with the actors after that movie came out, and they're like, God, you're all so cute. Did anyone in the back of their mind think, except Matt, you look a little weird?
But see, he still has a big following. I shouldn't just be hating on really.
No, let's hate on other people. Yeah. Pick anyone you want.
But I shouldn't be talking about people. Like, I think that's like the, I think like when people talk about attractiveness, it's like the first and easiest common denominator bone. Like, it's not actually really good.
No, you're right. It has nothing to do with who you are.
It's subjective or whatever. Like, my opinions are going to be different from others' opinions. But he does, like, it does.
I don't know why you're trying to be inclusive here. We can be the absolute opposite. I have never been in.
When I watch that movie, I'm like, what's the main character's name? What's his?
Channing Tatum, the actual actor.
Yeah. Is like, he is the most beautiful man in the world. And then, like, this other guy comes on. He's, like, supposed to be the trainer guy. And then Matthew McConaughey's character is Matthew McConaughey in real life. Like, he's just kind of creepy and weird. And I'm not totally sure if it's, like, his physical appearance that bothers me or, the spirit behind the appearance that, like, brings out just grossness. Like, it's in his eyes. It's not in his abs that I'm bothered with. Like, it's, like,
his personality. Well, now it's funny that you would actually judge him by a lot more than his abs. When you don't just see abs when he's speaking.
I'm really deep.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. Well, by how we broke down Bob's Burgers, I can tell you're super deep. The meaning of this show. They made like a reference to potty humor, but no, we're seeing a much deeper picture here.
I do really think in a deep way.
Well, I mean, I thank you so much for challenging me to this show. It's been a really great experience to watch Bob's Burgers. I'm going to try. This is the first show that I've been challenged to that's actually still in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Every show that I've done, this is my 14th episode, and someone asked me to try to catalog how many hours I've now spent preparing for my podcast, because like a binge is typically about 15 to 20 hours of watching television, and I've done 14 of these. So I've done a lot, guys, a lot of TV, and it's just going to keep going. And I was watching all the superhero shows on television before I started this.
Are you single?
No, I'm a married man.
Oh, Dan,
now.
I was gonna say, that would be like the greatest Tinder profile. You'd be like Netflix and chill for me for my podcast. Like that would have been so good.
I'm not even trying to hit on you.
Oh my gosh,
we're really
good
at Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm actually gonna watch all the episodes. I'd be the worst single guy ever, is what you're saying. Actually,
oh yeah, no, I would hate you. But like, that's like, but you could have like used it.
You are now officially my favorite guest. We met today, for anyone listening, and you just told me that you'd hate me. That's how we're going to conclude this. Oh, no, I totally hate you. You suck as a person. Thank you. It's so nice to meet you. I'm really happy that you've been on my show.
See, now you got to come on my show and drink champagne so we can quell that.
That sounds great.
Let's do that.
Well, I really wish that I brought some kind of alcohol here. I don't know what I was thinking.
I brought some Mint Melody tea, so don't be jealous.
No, nice. Well, thank you again so much. And again, please tell people what your podcast is, where they can find it, all that stuff.
I am the host of Champagne and Snark. I'm on iTunes, Stitcher, and also you can do it via my website, which is accidentally-sexy.com. That dash is incredibly important. There's a podcast tab there. You can subscribe via RSS or listen on the web, whatever your passion.
I actually think that I discovered that dash was really important because Amy Guth told me about your website.
I used to own accidentallysexy.com, and then I was like, I don't know, and then I like let it lapse. And then nobody owned it for a really long time, and then somebody owned it.
Yeah,
like, oh,
and that
man.
Person who owns it is not going
no,
for the... Yeah.
It is not accidental on
no,
that website.
There is no accident. No one go to accidentallysexy.com without this slash. Please
Accidentally-sexy.com. Yeah. Champagne and Snark, iTunes, Stitcher, and my website.
And watch Bob's Burgers. This has been You've Been Challenged. I'm Craig Collins. My guest this week has been Anna Fernat. Thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely.
Cool.